can do all things through him. So we're thankful. Today we're going to attempt to make it to the end of Romans 11. We covered the first half or so last time. We're going to pick up at verse 11 to get our context. We're really going to focus on verses 16 to 36, and we're going to take it basically in two parts. For verses 16 to 24, we're going to be admonished to be grafted into God's olive tree by faith. Be grafted in by faith. And then verses 25 to 36, we're going to be admonished to grow in knowledge and glorify God. Grow in knowledge and glorify God in the life that he's given us. And all of this is only by his grace and by his mercy. We're not part of the family of God. We're not part of the kingdom of God. We're not part of the body of Christ. None of those things happen apart from God's grace and mercy. We don't deserve it. That's right, I'm talking to you. None of us deserve it, not even you. And we need to never boast in our position in Christ because it's only by his grace. Let's stand together for Abel. Romans 11, 11. We'll pray together and then we'll read. Our Father in heaven, as we approach your throne of grace and mercy again, we ask for that today. We need your grace and we need your mercy. As there are so many of our brothers and sisters who are away today, we pray for those that are traveling. You'll give them grace, bring them home safely and back together with us the next time we gather. We pray for those who are sick and unable to be here. We pray for complete healing, that you'll make them whole by your grace. We pray for Brother Philip right now, that you'll continue to be with the surgeon, that you'll give grace in his procedure, that you will be merciful to us and prolong his days. He, like all of us, it's better for him to go and be with you, but it's needful for us that he would stay and work with us. So we pray you'll prolong his days and give grace. Lord, we ask that you'll bless your word in our hearts and minds today, that your Holy Spirit would guide us into all truth, that you'll teach us. I pray, Lord, you'll help me to preach by the power of your Spirit. I'm nothing without you, and I pray for your mercy and help, that you'll take your word and implant it into our hearts today, that it will bear much fruit for your glory. And Father, I pray that you'd help each one of us to be disciples who are making disciples for your glory. Forgive where we fell in that and help us. Please be with our nation. Bring revival and awakening to our land. God, please be merciful to America and help us to have more days to see revival and use us to bring the kingdom through the preaching of the gospel to this country and to other nations around the world. Please help, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 11 says, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather, through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office, if by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall be the receiving of them but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell, severity. But toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise, thou also shalt be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut off of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? Amen. Please be seated. Be grafted into God's olive tree by believing. We kind of tried to get the context back at verse 11 through 15, and basically it comes to this. Has God set aside Israel permanently? No, God forbid, absolutely not. They have been temporarily set aside, and that's because of their unbelief. But God is so merciful and so gracious and so, so good that even though he intended for Israel to be a kingdom and nation of priests to bring his message to the world and to bring the world to God through faith, they rebelled against God and God set them aside temporarily. But even though his intention was through their faith and belief he would use them, God is so good, even in their unbelief, he used them. And through their unbelief, the gospel came to the Gentiles, and God is going to accomplish his purposes no matter what man does. So they were set aside, ushered the gospel into the world, to the Gentiles, to everyone outside of Israel. And he says if the fall of them and the diminishing of them was the riches of the Gentiles, just imagine how good it's going to be when they believe, when they come to God, when they fulfill what God intends for them and what God will do for them and through them. So the casting away of them was the reconciling of the world. What shall the receiving them be but life from the dead? So then he gives us this picture of holiness. Look at verse 16. For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. We know about this. When the Lord talked about this idea of taking a lump or a ball of dough, in the Old Testament, they would give an offering from their dough. They would take flour, basically. They would take the flour, they would take the oil, they would put it together and make it a lump or a what we would call dough, and they would pinch off a piece of the dough as a offering to God. That first fruits of that lump were given to the priest as an offering to God to sustain the priest, but it was a offering to God to say, God has given us this, and we are recognizing that everything God has given us is his. Why is it holy? Because it's been sanctified, because it's been set apart as unto God. So the lump, if the lump is holy, if it's sanctified, then everything that comes out of it is sanctified. But you get that? You take the first fruits of it, if that's sanctified unto God, then God's saying, I'm going to bless the rest of it too. And when we recognize that in our lives, that God has given to us everything that we have, and we honor him, we worship him, we recognize that it's his through giving to God, through worshiping him. When we give to him, we're saying, not just what we gave you is yours, God, but everything is yours. And so that's the picture that he has here. If the first fruit, the first piece of the lump is holy, then the whole thing is holy. And then he gives us this idea that if the root is holy, so are the branches. Well, that makes sense, right? If what everything grows out of, the root is holy, then everything that grows out of that root is holy too, because it can't be contrary to the nature of the root, right? The root determines the nature of the rest of the plant. So be holy, because God has established his people in holiness. And he calls us to be holy as he is holy. So Israel's casting away brought reconciliation to the world. The receiving of them will be even the greater good to the world. And holy fruits come from holy roots. Holy fruits come from holy roots. And then we have this picture, verse 17 and 18. If some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Well, we get this picture. It's a picture of grafting. How many of you have ever grafted anything before? Anybody ever done that with your trees? A couple of you have? We got a couple of pictures here. I want to show you this first picture is a picture of Gethsemane. Most of you have heard of Gethsemane, a place where Jesus liked to go to pray. These are olive trees, modern day, that are still there. Some of those trees right there are several hundred years old. There are some olive trees in the world today that are said to be over 1,000 years old. And what happens is these root systems grow and the tree grows, but eventually the branches will die. And the practice back then and even today is to do this. The next picture shows you a stump of an olive tree. And you see the branches that are growing out of it, those were grafted in. So you go to a wild olive tree that's green and budding and growing, and you cut off the branches from the wild olive tree. You bring it to that stump that's already there, and you graft it in. It's tied in to the original until it becomes part of the trunk that's already there. Everybody with me? So this is the picture that he's talking about. That's something that they did back in the days of the Lord Jesus, back in the days of the Apostle Paul, and is still practiced in the world today. So look back at our text here, verse 17 and 18. If some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree. So what happened? Well, there were those in Israel who didn't believe in God. They didn't have faith in their Messiah. And so God broke them off. He cut them off and cast them away because of their unbelief. The gospel came to the Gentiles, which were wild olive trees, not cultivated, not with good and holy roots. But God cut those Gentiles off of the wild olive trees, cut those branches off, and put them into his olive tree that has holy roots. Why does it have holy roots? Because God established it. Because God gave the promises and the law and the word and ultimately Christ to Israel. It was given to Israel through Israel that the promises have been given. And so the root was holy. Even though some of the branches were not believers and were cast off, God has taken Gentiles, which were wild and didn't have holy roots, and grafted us in to his olive tree. But if that's the reality, you might look at it and say, well, we've been grafted into God's olive tree. We've been given a place of holiness. We've been given a place in God's kingdom and his promises that were given to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and were given to Moses and to David. Those promises have been given to us. We're the true ones. We're the real ones because we are in the olive tree and Israel has been cast off. And it might be that the Gentiles would be puffed up, would be boastful, and say, look at where we are and look at Israel today. You didn't realize that anti-Semitism is not new? Did you know that it's alive and well in the world right now today? Right here in America today? Right here in our own town today and across the river in Fort Smith? There is anti-Semitism that is prolific in the world today, and it's nothing new. It's always been there. And what Paul is saying, you better be careful, believers, Gentile Christians, don't boast against Israel because you weren't naturally part of this tree, and it's only by God's mercy that you're part of the tree now. Everybody with me? Be humble. Don't boast against those broken off branches. Remember this. Branches don't hold up the root, but the root holds up the branches. Well, that doesn't make any sense, does it? I mean, you can't pluck up a tree out of the ground and turn it upside down on its branches and have it survive. That's not going to work. It's the roots that hold up the branches. Don't think for a second, brothers and sisters, that we're holding ourselves up. The only reason we're held up is because God has placed us in the root and the fatness of his olive tree. That's the only reason we stand. We depend on him. He's the one who's grafted us in, and he's the one who holds us here. It's all him. Israel is God's chosen people. They had the covenants. They had the oracles, the promised seed, which is Christ. So don't be high-minded. Verse 19. Wilt thou say then the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in? So he says, don't boast. Don't boast against the branches. Because if you do that, you're trying to say that you're holding this all up, when you're not the one holding it all up. You're the branch, not the root. And then he says, not only don't boast against it, but don't turn around and be high-minded and say this, the branches were broken off so that I could have my place in the olive tree. Listen, God threw those people away so that I could have my place. See how we make it about us? I don't know what's wrong with this, except that we have sin natures, but we tend to always make everything about us. It's not about us. It's about him. It's not about, hey, look, God got rid of them so we could have our place. It's about us. It's about the Gentiles. It's about the new church age. It's about us. It's not about us. It's about him. It's about him. Israel was cast aside, but don't boast and don't be high-minded. Verse 20, well, because of their unbelief, they were broken off. And thou standest by what? How do we stand? by faith. Is that something that you can boast about? I'd remind you of Romans chapter 3. If you go back and read it, he's going to tell you that you don't get to boast because it's faith. Faith removes boasting because faith is set against our works. Faith and works are always set in opposition to each other. And it's not us. It's not who we are. It's not what we've done. It's certainly not because we're so lovely. It's certainly not because we're so good. It's certainly not because we've done anything to deserve it. What we deserve is the wrath of God. And so God says, don't boast and don't be high-minded, because it's only by faith that you stand, that you believe what God has shown you that Christ did for you. So don't be high-minded. You stand by faith alone. You stand by faith. So be not high-minded, but fear. But fear. Now, I want you to catch this, lest we miss the point here. Paul is talking about Israel nationally, and he's talking about Gentiles nationally. And this all plays out in individual lives, individuals who believe or don't believe. But I need you to understand, when he's talking about Israel here, he's talking about national Israel. How do I know that? Because he talks about those who are of the faith, and he's contrasting himself, who was a believer, out of Israel. So God's not done with them. I'm an Israelite. God's not done. I was saved, and others are being saved. But Israel nationally has rejected God, and Israel nationally has been set aside for a time, and God has brought in the Gentile nations into his olive tree. But he's got to be talking about nations here because of this warning. Verse 20. Well, because of their unbelief, they were broken off. Thou standest by faith, but be not high-minded, but fear, verse 21, for if God spared not the natural branches, Israel, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fail, severity, but toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in. I want you to get it. Israel nationally rejected God because of their unbelief. They were broken off. And Gentiles who believe were grafted in. And God has a place for the nations to be grafted in through belief. But if you don't continue in his goodness, what is his goodness? Well, that's the good news. That's the gospel. If you remove yourself from the gospel of Jesus Christ, from faith in him, then the Gentiles won't be saved either. Gentile nations will be broken off if they turn away from faith in Jesus. Why am I trying to make a point of this? Well, friend, if you have faith in Jesus, you personally, individually, can't be taken away from God. What am I saying? I'm saying if you have trusted Christ, you have eternal life. The Spirit of God lives in you forever, and you will live with God forever. So he's not talking about individuals being broken off. He's talking about nationally we could be broken off. Well, can we see that in the world today? You realize that a couple of millennia ago, the gospel went to the place that we know as the United Kingdom, to Europe. And a couple of thousand years ago, the gospel propagated that place to where belief in Jesus was the dominant theme of that area. And did you know that over the years, Europe has turned away from God and the gospel, and that there are very few Bible-believing churches in comparison relatively to what there used to be, even 400 or 500 years ago? That they have continued to move away from God, and nations have become godless and have been broken off from the kingdom of God nationally. It's a heartbreaking thing to study the history of churches in Europe. Great, great church buildings that used to house thousands of worshipers of Jesus are now anything under the sun. Hotels, bars, restaurants, houses. Places that used to be where congregations met to worship Jesus are anything else but worshiping Jesus. And did you know that if you're paying attention, you can see the same thing beginning to happen in the United States of America? That America nationally, historically, had the first great awakening and the second great awakening, and that we have seen in times past millions of people come to faith in Jesus, and churches spread and multiply across this land. And if you're paying attention, you'll notice that that has been declining for decades now. And even here in America, Places that used to be churches are now just places that sell chicken. And as a nation, our nation, if we do not stay in the goodness of God and the mercy of God and faith in Christ, our nation will be broken off from the kingdom of God. That's the warning that he's giving us. So behold the goodness and severity of God. Severity on those who fell. And why did they fall? Because of unbelief. Behold not only the severity, but the goodness. Goodness on those who continue in the goodness of God that comes by grace through faith. Verse 23 and 24, they also, Israel, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. Well, that's easy, right? Is God able to put Israel back into his olive tree? Well, if thou art cut off to the olive tree, which is wild by nature, were grafted into contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these which be the natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? Listen, if God could take godless pagan Gentiles who are out there without God, without hope in the world, and he can take godless Gentiles and put them into his holy olive tree, how much more can he do the same for Israel who started in him, who have those roots in him, who were naturally a part of his tree? God could certainly put them back in. Not only can he, but he will. Not only can he, but he will. So what is it for us? Well, we need to be grafted into God's olive tree by believing individually, and we need to be striving to see that nations would be grafted in. Do you remember the commission? Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations. It's God's desire that as we take the gospel into a community, that more and more people in that community come to Christ and that they multiply in that community into other communities. And is that not what nations are made up of? Families and communities? And God desires for the gospel to continue to spread and multiply through communities and through states and provinces and nations, that the nations would come to Christ. And I know that some of you are kind of just in a place where you're like, well, we're just going to try to hang on and hold on until Jesus comes. You see the decline in the end of America, but our commission hasn't changed. And there are still countless millions of people, billions of people in the world today who need Jesus and who we've been commissioned to go and make disciples of. And so the work is still there. The call hasn't changed. The power has still been given to us to go and preach the gospel to everyone and to see disciples multiplied in every place to the glory of God. I know the attitude of too many Christians today is it's too late. If it was too late, then we wouldn't be here. Do you hear me? If it was too late, we wouldn't be here. It's done when he says it's done. The trumpet will sound when it's time. And we're to stay busy doing the work until that time. So what do? Well, we try to make disciples right here where we're at. We live to make disciples in our sphere of influence, in your family first, and within this church, and within your workplace or your school place or your neighborhood, your community. You strive, you live to make disciples of the people around you, and we do everything we can to support others who are in other places making disciples. And if God calls you to go to some other place, then you go to make disciples. If God moves you to another town for another job, then you go there to make disciples wherever God takes you. If God calls you to be a missionary to another place, then you go there and you live to make disciples. And we do what God's called us to do because we want to see the nations come to faith in Christ. Don't we? Amen. Well, let me just remind you, what happens if they don't turn to faith in Christ? Then they're cut off. Jesus taught in John 15 that he's the vine and we're the branches. And if a branch doesn't abide in him, then they're cast off. And men will gather them, and they will be burned. So our hope is to see people come to Christ, nations turn to Christ, and nations are made up of individuals. The only thing that can save nations is the gospel of Jesus Christ going to each individual in that nation. That's it. So be grafted in. Number two this morning, grow in knowledge and glorify God in the life he's given you. So here's a question for you. As we come down to verse 25, where are you? Are you still in a wild olive branch with roots of unholiness and ungodliness? Or have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and God has taken you out of that wild olive branch and he's grafted you into his holy olive tree and now you are part of the kingdom and family of God? Where are you today? Well, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, then you've been grafted into him. And if you are in unbelief, then you haven't. You stand apart from God. Verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Paul says, I don't want you to be ignorant of this mystery. Now, sometimes we see the word mystery in the New Testament. It gets us all shook up. We don't really know what to do with that. A mystery is something that's revealed in the New Testament that was not revealed or understood in the Old Testament. So this is a thing that the Old Testament saints didn't understand that God has revealed in the New Testament. So when you see the word mystery, it's not still a mystery. God has given us the answer to the mystery. What's the mystery that he wants us to not be ignorant about? Is this. Don't be wise in your own conceits, because this truth, blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. So what's the fullness of the Gentiles? Well, there is a lot of debate about what this is talking about. I'm going to tell you what I believe that it is. I believe this, because Jesus came unto his own Israel, and his own received him not. Then the gospel went to the Gentiles, and the Gentiles at large have believed and received him. And so the church of the Lord Jesus Christ today is primarily made up of Gentile believers. In other words, there are less believing Israelites than there are believing Gentiles in the world today. And that's the way it's going to be until the time of the Great Tribulation. And God is going to take the church out of the way, and God is going to begin a hard work, an unimaginably hard work in Jacob or Israel to bring them to a place of repentance and faith. So until the time of the Gentiles, I believe he's talking about the church age. You can study that out. There's all kinds of different opinions about that. But blindness has happened to Israel in part until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, until that time is complete. Verse 26 and 27. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. So not only know this, blindness has happened to them in part for a time, it's temporary, but know this, all Israel will be saved. So what does Paul mean when he says all Israel will be saved? Well, you can study that out, maybe you'll come to a different conclusion. But I've got an idea that when Paul says all Israel will be saved, as God promised in the Old Testament, that that's what he means. There's going to come a time when God's going to bring salvation to all of Israel. It's not going to be during this church age, but it's going to be after the church age, and God's going to do it through the Great Tribulation and the millennial reign of Christ. Isaiah 59, verse 14. Isaiah 59, 14. We're going to look at a couple of Old Testament passages as we come to the conclusion of our message this morning. Isaiah 59, 14, and then we'll also look at Jeremiah 31, 31. Isaiah 59, 14, we'll read down through verse 21. It says this, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey, as the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and an helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him, and the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My Spirit that is come upon thee, that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth forever. So God gave a promise to Israel through Isaiah that the Redeemer was going to come to Zion, and he was going to turn Jacob, Israel, from sin forever. He's going to turn Israel from sin forever. Now, Jeremiah 31:31. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband to them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinance of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea, and when the waves thereof roar, the Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. Thus saith the Lord, if heaven above can be measured, and the foundation of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith the Lord. What's he saying? God's saying he's going to do it away at the old covenant to bring in a new covenant because Israel didn't keep their covenant. But God was going to save Israel, is going to save Israel from their sins. And he says this, if the sun and the ordinance of the moon and the stars and the sea, if those ordinances stop, if they cease, if they end, then Israel will stop being a nation before him forever. Well, friends, the sun came up this morning. And tonight, if the clouds clear off, you'll see the stars in the sky. And those ordinances that God has established continue. And God has not cast off Israel forever. And one day, he's going to bring redemption to Israel by his great grace and by his mercy. And you know how he's going to do it? He's going to do it by his grace through faith because he's merciful. Does Israel deserve to be put back in? No. Israel doesn't deserve to be put back in any more than you and I deserve to be put in. No more than any nation ever has. It's only ever been by his mercy. It's only by his mercies that we're not consumed. And we ought to rejoice in his mercy today. Let's stand together. Musicians are going to come. We're going to stop right there. And some of you who have read to the end of the chapter are greatly disappointed because some of the richest, most beautiful verses in all of Scripture are at the end of this chapter. And if you'll show back up today at 1 o'clock, we're going to study them together. So if you don't show back up at 1 o'clock today, you're going to miss out. And I'm going to feel sorry for you. So be here. As he concludes this section, not just chapter 11, but really the end of chapter 11 is the conclusion of chapters 1 through 11. And it's the greatness of the mercy of God in his salvation that's by grace through faith. I hope that God has touched your heart today. If he's convicting your heart, a decision you need to make, you come while we sing.
Page 521.